Hi, welcome to Pathways. This is the podcast where we speak with Grenadians and other West Indians pursuing careers in the STEAM fields. Today's discussion is going to be another interesting one, so stick around. We hope you find something that resonates and helps keep you going along your journey. Chanel is yet another Grenadian daughter who has pursued studies first in math and now in finance and economics in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I was happy to have this conversation as Chanel is actually our first guest who has also served as a past director on Grenadian STEAM's core board of directors. With her mind set on a career in actuarial science, Chanel talks with me about overcoming expectations and the vast opportunities out there within the field of mathematics. Please enjoy this direct conversation with Chanel, and if you like what you hear or have any feedback for us, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may be listening today. Chanel, welcome to Pathways.
Thank you, Arlene. It's a pleasure.
So you're currently in Argentina, but you grew up in Grenada. Where in Grenada did you grow up?
In St. Paul, St. George's.
St. Paul's.
Yes, girl.
Okay. And so what were your primary, secondary school years like? What type of student were you?
What type of student was I in primary school? An athletic student, I can say. I don't remember much of my primary school days, but, you know, it was just the basic going to school, you know, support from parents. I do remember, like, what brings me to this exact situation. I don't know if it was in grade 4 or 5. I came home one day with, I don't know, maybe 30 out of 100 or something like that, but a score that could have been improved in mathematics. And my mom was like, for every exam that you get an A on, over 90, I would give you, I think it was like $1 or something. And that was the last day that I did not get an exam that was over 90.
That dollar was real motivation.
That dollar was true motivation, I tell you. No, the rest of my years, I don't remember. But in secondary school, I do remember that I enjoyed many areas. For example, science, technical drawing, and the math part of it. Basically, I do remember getting extra math classes and doing additional mathematics. Yes, we were, girl.
Yeah, we did add math together.
Together, right. So I remember going to Stefan's math class, but to tell you the truth, I did not need it. I just, you know, I would learn extra stuff. It would get in, stay in, and it would be like, okay, wow. I enjoyed it though. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as extra work and anything. And I do remember that, as I said, my love for mathematics, it started off as an incentive from my mom. Then it came on to be something, you know, you sit in class, you pay attention. Okay, this works that way. You don't ever forget it. And wow, it was good. It was like, it was easy for me in secondary school. And then I went on to college and I realized that, you know, I really like this. Like, nice.
Yeah. So what did you do in college? Which subjects?
I did physics. Did I do physics? No, I did not do physics. I did chemistry, math, and biology. Yes, I did.
Okay. So all this time growing up and starting to enjoy math, did you know what you wanted to do, or did you have an idea of what you wanted to be when you grew up?
No, sweetheart. I will tell you the dead truth. I started off wanting to be a doctor. You know, that basic, oh, everybody has to be a doctor, or a lawyer and stuff. And I was like, okay, what kind of doctor you want to be? And I was thinking about my country and what do we need in Grenada and so on. And I was thinking, okay, we need gynecologists. So I wanted to be a gynecologist. But then I realized that, you know, I do biology, I like biology, but I'm not so into biology. So I'm like, okay, let's see. Maybe a vet medicine career, that would be good. And then I don't know why, but I got off that path. And I was like, okay, hands on the table. This is your last year in college, Chanel. You need to know where you're going. I mean, you cannot continue like this, young lady. And I was like, okay, it's not what you want anymore. It's what you can do, is what you like. And I sat and I was like, mathematics. Any other options? You know, just sitting on the table with all my subjects around me. And we're talking, I'm like, who's up for it? I'm here, mathematics. Anybody else? No, nobody else. Oh, okay, cool. Let's go with that. And basically, I really did not want to be a teacher. I still don't want to be a teacher. Like, you know, getting day plans and correcting exams and stuff. I want to do something more than that. I have done teaching. I still do teaching, but it's just, I don't think it's my calling. So once I got everybody else off the table and it was just mathematics and I decided to research a bit because the knowledge that I had of mathematics at that point in time was that mathematics teacher go back to college and teach secondary school and so on. I'm like, there has to be something out there more than that. Mm-hmm. And I started searching. And I found actuarial science, which was something that it caught my attention. I mean, it was kind of late in life to decide because I have already passed secondary school where I could have done some kind of business subject and so on. And I didn't because I didn't see myself pointing in that direction. But I was like, okay, it's never too late for anything and let's go in that direction. And I got advice from a young man who studied in Germany and he did actuarial science. And his advice was, it is best to get a degree in mathematics so that you understand the whole mathematical part of it, because most of actuarial science is mathematics and then you apply it to economy. So that is why I set out after college on a path to do a degree in mathematics.
Okay, so you decided math was the one for you and you ended up in Argentina studying math.
Yes.
So what was the thought process between that decision back home in Grenada and moving to Argentina? Were you looking at schools in other places? How did you choose your school? And then how did you choose Argentina?
Okay. So actually the story started out with this guy. I really don't remember his name. I think he's German too. That's why he studied in Germany. Okay. And he was trying to set me up in with a school in Germany. Then I had an option for Texas and Argentina. Okay. The Texas option was the most expensive. So yeah, that basically was the main factor for off the table. Mm-hmm. Then there was Germany, which required lots of paperwork and so on. Like, it was a very complicated process and it would have been a year and a half extra because it was mandatory in that university that you know the language before you start studying. So I would have been a year and a half studying pure languages and then start studying my main course. And then Argentina was free. The studies in Argentina is actually free. Oh. And yes, and I started off living at a friend of my mom's at her house. She had older daughters and sons, which had already left home and everything. And she was glad to have somebody at home to keep her company and, you know, just put the little spirit back into the whole household. Mm-hmm. So we decided And another factor that came in very well was, I don't really remember what month this was. I think it was in October of that given year. But because all inscriptions and stuff were supposed to be done before August, I would have had to wait one more year before I could get into the university in Germany. And the Argentine system is very different from what we know. Their academic year starts in March. Huh. Yes, my dear friend, from March to December. So even if we started stuff like the papers and passports and visas and stuff, student visa in October, I would have had enough time to get there in March. And the truth is, I started in 2012, and in 2013, I was in Argentina on the 18th of March, 2 days after I started school. Yes.
Okay. So what was the school program like there? Was it a major in math, or was it more specific than that?
No, it is. They don't have majors. They don't have minors. As I said, the system is totally different. You have two semesters. They call them quatri semesters. Mm-hmm. Then you have a career, which means, and literally in every university, based on how things are organized, you don't have time to study two careers at the same time. It's virtually impossible.
Okay.
Yes.
So how does the career work? What kind of, did you have courses? Or do you still call it courses? Okay.
Yes. Well, I would call it courses. In math, well, I can only speak about mathematics because in other areas they do things a bit differently, but I don't really know. Okay. But in mathematics, we had 4 courses per year, which were cuatrimestral, which means 2 courses from March to July and 2 courses from August to December. Your exams are not fixed, which means you do your course, you do your in-class exams, you pass them, and whenever you want to do your final exams, when you are ready, you go into the district office, you talk to them, they set up an exam table for you, and you do your exam.
Anytime during the year?
Exactly, anytime during the year. Now, summer courses are only available based on if teachers are available.
Okay.
And basically, summer courses are only available for maybe first year and a couple second year subjects. After that, it is impossible. On the other hand, repeating subjects is not an option. Again, only first and second year, meaning that you can repeat something that is given in your first semester in the second semester, only if the teacher is willing and available to give over that subject. So basically, in mathematics, it doesn't really bother you, but in other areas of study, people have changed their career or changed universities because they would have to wait an entire year to do over a subject that was very determining for them, which means that if you don't pass that, you can't move on. Well, yes, that is something that is very interesting too. There's something called trabas. In English would be like, it would be a firewall. Okay. If you don't pass this subject, you can't do anything else in the other semester. You have to pass the subject to go on. No, the Department of Mathematics in my university is very flexible, so you can always present notes and ask for exceptions, and they can allow you, but your exception has a deadline. I mean, okay, I give you an exception to do this subject without having the one that you failed before, but next year you have to pass it in order for me to pass your grades into the system. Hmm. So yeah, it's interesting. It's very different, but because everything has its good and its bad. The bad part about it is that it takes you minimum 5 years to finish studying.
Minimum, because
even if you do everything and you never fail a subject, the course outline is 5 years. When you finish those 5 years, I'm pretty sure that you would have an exam, a third year exam that you haven't, a final exam that you haven't done yet, or a fourth year exam, or even the last exams that you did, the last courses that you did, you have to do those final exams. And the courses are so densely contained that you cannot prepare a final exam in 1 week. That is impossible. Like, no one has ever done that. You would need at least, I don't know, 2 weeks or a month to prepare a final exam.
When you say prepare, you mean take the test or study, like prepare for
study.
It?
Study and prepare for it.
Okay. What does the test entail? What makes it so difficult?
Because every teacher takes exams differently. For example, I have a teacher that he does only oral exam. Can you imagine?
Oral math?
Exactly. Can you imagine oral math? Like, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the truth of the matter is, the deeper in you go into math, the less numbers there are and more concepts. So you can have an oral exam, and yes, you would be standing in front of a blackboard or a whiteboard, and the teacher would be there with his legs crossed. Like, this is his signature, like, pose, with his legs crossed. And he would be like, okay, tell me Cauchy's theorem. Uh-huh. Yes, basically that. Can you prove it? If you take out this hypothesis, what changes? If you add this hypothesis, what changes? And, well, yeah, that's basically it.
Wow. Okay, that's a whole new world. So, out of curiosity, do you have an idea of what similar math courses or programs are like at other schools or in other countries? So, if you had gone to Germany, would it have been similar at all? Have you ever looked into that?
I know that the German system is a lot more like the US system, which mm-hmm. means that you can do summer courses, you do your in-class exams, your final exams are set in stone, basically. Mm-hmm. The only thing, I don't regret coming to Argentina, because I got to learn things about a new culture, a new language, and I know it takes a little bit more time to get your degree here, but I think it's worth it.
Right. And it was free. Is it free for, like, anyone, or is that just typical Argentinian school?
No, it's free for anyone.
Wow. Okay. Things I wish I knew. Okay. That's interesting. So, again, you talked about the language a bit, because they speak Spanish in Argentina. Did mm-hmm. you speak Spanish before you got there?
I did Spanish in secondary school. Mm-hmm. I passed my CXC Spanish exam. Mm-hmm. But I won't lie, I came to Argentina knowing ¿dónde está el baño? Which means, where is the bathroom?
That's important to know.
Exactly. Thank you, Arlene. And knowing how to present myself, mi nombre es Chanel, and asking, ¿cuál es su nombre? Which is very, but I think, very formal here. Like, nobody says that. Mm. Maybe if you're talking to the president, you say, ¿cuál es su nombre?
So what do they say?
And ¿cuál es tu nombre? Or ¿cómo es tu nombre?
Okay.
Yeah, the su is, like, very, very formal. Mm-hmm. And I went from that to, I have a lot of stories about mistakes and learning experiences in Spanish. But yeah, I think the one thing that helped me the most was I had to live here and listen to it every day. So That helped me a lot. I did go to an institute for extranjeros, which means foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
I met Germans, I met people from Italy, from Portugal, like a lot of places that were in Argentina, in that city at that time, taking courses, trying to learn the language. But the truth is, it did not help me.
What did?
Going to school, talking to my friends, making mistakes, getting corrected in live timing. That is what helped me.
Mm. So would you say you're fluent now?
I am, señorita.
Ah, nice. Okay. And how long do you think it took you to get to that level?
I still make little mistakes, but I think after a year, I was fluent. I started off being able to understand what someone was telling me, but not being able to formulate my own answer.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing about Spanish is that what you hear is what you write. Like a T won't sound like a Z, or a S won't sound like a C, never ever. What you hear is what you write. So writing was the easiest part for me. And I had this friend, which well, obviously I made friends in the English department, and they did a study on me. They used me as a lab rat. They said that when a person migrates to a new country, their brain is like a new baby. And it would take them 6 months to be able to have a relatively decent back and forth conversation. And after 6 months of being in Argentina, he sat me down on a table and he was like, let's talk. And it was good. I understood everything that he said. There's some things that I couldn't respond to because I didn't know certain words, but that in time was, I bettered my Spanish and, you know, here I am today.
Lovely. I know it seems difficult for most people, because I've spoken to a couple other people who have gone to foreign countries and had to learn the language. And so it's interesting to hear the different things that help you to assimilate.
Yes, I do remember that when I started, because I started in Universidad Nacional de San Juan, which is in the province of San Juan of Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that when all of my friends or people that I knew graduated, they went over to Buenos Aires. They went over to two distinct universities of Buenos Aires. And I was like, why? And I started to question and think about it. And I realized that nationally, the universities that they were going to were higher rated. So after my second year of studies, I finished the entire program for those two years. I did my final exams and then I moved over to Buenos Aires, where I am now. And okay. I still have my notes from my first 2 years. Well, the second year, I mean, I had gotten over that, but the couple of books that I have from my first year, I would use one page, copy everything down that the teacher said or what he put on the blackboard, and the next page I would leave it blank. Why? Because when I got home, I would go on to Google Translate, I would translate everything and write it down in English. So, yeah.
Nice. So all your classes were in Spanish?
All my classes were in Spanish. The good thing about it is in mathematics, after a certain point, the best books are in English. So basically all my teachers knew textual English. Even if it wasn't conversational English, they knew textual English. So they could help me understand what the teacher was saying or get the general concept of it speaking to me in English. Mm. But as I said, after the first 8 months, 10 months, the first year, I was good to go.
Okay. Nice. So you said you transferred after 2 years. Was that the end of the program, or did you like transfer into another program with the same degree?
I transferred into another university with the same degree. I transferred my credits and I continued studying.
Okay, got it. And so at the end of it, what was the degree that you got?
It's a degree in research mathematics.
Research mathematics. Okay. Cool. So now what? So you graduated with that degree after your 5 or whatever years. And are you still taking classes now? Or are you working?
I am working. I work in the university where I got my degree, which is La Universidad Nacional del Sur in Bahía Blanca, Buenos Aires. I'm a teacher assistant in the area of algebra. And I am currently studying, I'm doing courses in financing and economics.
Okay, so finance and economics. What are you thinking that you want to do when you're finished with those additional certifications?
I want to, my whole goal is to get to actuarial science. I'm not sure if I want to do it here in Argentina or in Canada. So those are my two options. I'm not sure where I'm going to go as yet, but if I tell you the truth, my options, like, my head is tilting more to Canada than staying in Argentina to do it.
Why Canada?
Because I know that they have their program is very good. I think it's in Ontario. I'm not sure. But their program, they have a very good program. At some point in time, I know I had searched information on them. And I need to speak more English. Basically. Yes, I need to get back into my English speaking abilities.
You're all Spanish though. Do you feel like you're forgetting your English?
Yes, of course. I only speak English with my mom, which is once a day, 1 hour per day. But yeah, it's good.
Okay. It sounds perfect to me. So, okay. So I forget, did you want to do actuarial science when you started your degree?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
So first of all, what is actuarial science? And how has your understanding of it developed throughout your program?
Well, my program was a math program, which means that it had nothing to do with actuarial science because you can actually, as I said, this guy that gave me the his name is Morris. There it goes. His name is Morris. Yeah. So Morris told me that he went directly into an actuarial science program. And the part that he suffered the most was mathematics because he thought that, or he thinks that if he had previous knowledge about mathematics or a degree in mathematics, it would help him a lot more.
Okay.
So I did a pure math degree, and now I'm trying to get myself formed in the whole idea of what is economy and how it helps and how it works and balancing sheets and so on, because I didn't even do principle of business in secondary school. I have no idea.
Right.
And so actuarial science is basically mathematics applied to the economy. What you do is you run statistics it's basically the basis of health insurances and vehicle insurances and how these things help to better an economy and the whole concept of securing yourself while you live, basically.
Okay. So it sounds like it can be applied to lots of different areas of life. Is there a specific path you're thinking of taking?
For now, no. I didn't think about it, but you can apply it to businesses, to more rural areas like life and life insurances and life expectancies and so on. Then you have the whole business, more organizational part, but I haven't gone in to look or to research on what I like or what I don't like as yet, or where I feel my calling.
Okay. And then how do you even become an actuary once you do have all these degrees? Is it that you compile all this knowledge and you have your math and your economic background and then you apply to jobs? Or is there like a step where you become a certified actuary?
I do have to study certain courses to become an actuary, but my math background and my economic background would influence in how much more I have to study to become an actuary. Okay. For example, there are certain courses that I would not have to do. Hopefully, no more math courses.
All mathed out now?
Yes. I mean, I like it and everything, but you know, too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. So this Maurice sounded like a kind of mentor to you, someone that you were able to kind of ask questions and go to. Where did you even meet him?
My mom knew his mom.
Okay.
And his mom mentioned that he was in his last year, or he was missing 1 year before he became an actuary. And we got in contact, we met, he basically was an entire evening speaking and giving me advice and everything. After that, once I got settled down and I got things on the way, we didn't continue in contact, but yes, in the beginning, he was a very important step to know where to go to learn from his mistakes and so on.
Interesting. Was he Grenadian or did you meet him somewhere else?
I met him in Grenada. I think his mom is Grenadian, but his dad is German.
Okay.
And he was born in Germany, I think, so I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, cool. All right, so along the way, was there any, like, pivotal moment for you where, like, either a conversation that you had or something you read where it like really changed your trajectory?
No, the truth is that I think that I suffered. Well, it wasn't really a suffering, but I took a very long time to actually decide to get myself on the path that I am on now, that it was a very good decision because I took so long to make it, but I am fixed on this path and there's nothing that can change me.
Okay. So what was the struggle in deciding to get on this path?
No idea. Basically, I think I wanted to please, I don't know, others or the system more than please myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't looking at things that actually inspired me, that things that actually I liked. No, I was looking at doing something or becoming someone in life that would help others and be something that others would want me to be, mm-hmm. rather than looking at what I want to do for myself.
Wow. I feel that. So this is just me being curious now. Were you struggling with kind of whether or not math was even a path that you could take, just because it's not something that you hear people talk about? It maybe seems like, I don't know, less than or more than. What was that?
No, actually it's quite the opposite.
Okay.
It is true that it's not every day you hear someone saying, no, I'm a mathematician, I studied math, like, what? But when you do speak to persons that, I don't know, like maybe just using basic terms, knows about what they're talking about, they're like, wow, that's great. That's good. You're going into math. I really like that. I mean, it's good. You're a good example for others and so on. I remember Ras in college, he was the happiest man alive when I told him that I went into mathematics. Miss Dotton, I remember that she was super excited when I told her that I was going into mathematics and actuarial science. She was very happy for me and she was like, keep on that path and don't derail or anything. I must say, being honest, that there are sometimes I feel like a whole or something that's not totally complete, because I really do think that there's some part of me that likes medicine or so on, but the hold on that part of me is not that strong for me to leave everything and start afresh with something that's in medicine. It's just maybe a hobby that I have or some kind of little passion, or maybe it's just I don't fear blood or needles or anything. So, yeah.
And it's possible that you could find a way to work in the medical field, even with your actuary degree or background.
Yes.
Who knows what the future holds?
True.
Okay. So if there's anybody listening, students or, you know, young people who want to learn more about the math path or just understand kind of how you gotten to where you are today, what advice would you have for them?
First of all, and the most important part of everything, is please yourself. Do what you like, do what you feel a calling for. And even if things get rough along the way, you know that it is what you like, it is what you want to do. So those rough parts would just be an experience along the way, and it would not be the turning or a path changing decision. And on the other hand, if there's anybody that is interested in mathematics, I would like to let them know that mathematics is not refined to being a teacher. There are so many other applications of mathematics in any industry whatsoever. So, you know, you can get out there if you like it. Don't bow down, don't be afraid, you know, get into there and find out, like, get yourself into the whole mathematical area and see what options there are, because it is actually very lovely. There are things that, and the thing about mathematics is that there are still hundreds of years of problems that are not resolved, that every day we get closer and closer to figuring it out. So it's right. It's an,
it really is a science at the end of the day, right? So along with that, is there any medium that you know of where people can kind of go and specifically learn more about math or dig into the different fields? Or would you just suggest, you know, a Google search?
No, the truth is I did it the old, hard, long way. I Google searched and I kept writing down things that I saw and getting into. I had a book that was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 pages long of different areas until I finally decided, okay, I like actuarial science, because you would go in and see mathematics and then the different areas in mathematics. And straying from the topic a bit, there's the last Congress that I went to, Mathematical Congress. There was a girl that started off in, I think it was I can't say it in English.
What is it in Spanish?
It's combinatoria enumerativa.
I can't help.
Yes. So it's the whole study of permutations and so on.
Okay.
So she started off there, and then she started liking accounting. Like she felt this need to know something about accounting, to do books and so on. And right now she is, I don't know, so she has some position in a company, a national company here, that she did finish her math degree. She got capacitated in what is accounting and economy. And she started off as a mathematician, but I mean, you can always apply it, as I said before, to any area of study, because mathematics is in everything.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think that's the most important thing for people to understand, that it's not just algebra and geometry.
Oh, yes, that is very true, darling.
Yeah, it's easy to think that because that's all you learn, you know, unless you decide to go further early on and do ad math or do economics or whatever the other branches are.
No, well, I was exposed to algebra, two types of geometry. There's surface geometry and then there's plan geometry, which are two totally different things. Then there's analysis. There's 3D analysis, there's 2D analysis, then there's statistics, there's combinatoria enumerativa, which I don't know how to say in English. Then there's analysis, but numerical analysis, which is taking 2D and 3D analysis and expanding it to like infinite dimensions. There is so much more to mathematics than just algebra.
Yeah. Okay, so great. Thank you so much for talking with us today. If there is anyone who would like to reach out to directly ask any questions or find out more, is there a good place that they can reach you?
Yes, my phone number, I would give it to you. It's 1-549-291-461-5441.
Okay,
last or numbers. Yes, it's because in Argentina you have the country code, which is 549. Mm-hmm. Then you have the city code, which is 291, and then you have the number.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
And you can also send me emails, but I think the faster way to get to me is through WhatsApp.
Okay, which is tied to this number?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. All right. Do you have any last things you want to say before we wrap up?
No. It doesn't have to do with math or any other degree. But I would encourage persons, especially in the Caribbean or especially in Grenada, because I got to realize that at least when I was in the whole choosing process, that we are very, I don't want to say close-minded or maybe, access to information is like basically limited. Like we don't all have to be doctors and lawyers. Mm-hmm. And nurses and teachers. And another thing that I think it's a very good experience is to get out there and study in a country that not necessarily, I don't know, Hindu or something like that, but in a country that speaks Spanish or French or German or Portuguese.
A different culture.
It is lovely. It is lovely to learn a different culture, a different language, and study at the same time. To me, it was a very, very, very lovely experience.
It's good to hear. Yeah, to know that there are all these, you know, other foreign countries, because the first thing everyone thinks is, I want to go to the US to study, or Canada or England. But there's so many other countries with different cultures that have free education, mm-hmm. which we don't even pay attention to. So
yeah, the education in Argentina is free unless if you want to pay it, which means there are institutes, not universities, there are institutes that you would receive a university degree, which is paid, but the national universities are all free. Secondary schools are free. The only thing that you would have to buy is, I don't know, your uniform or so on. But in university, that is, you don't need a uniform for university. You need your books, which are not textbooks, and online PDF. You print it if you want to.
I lost you for a minute there. They're not textbooks. They're what?
No, when I say they're not textbooks that, okay, you have to buy this book for your syllabus. Mm. Every syllabus has a bibliography which suggests books which you can follow to get more information or to get you better acquainted with the topic that the teacher is giving you. But in my experience, all my teachers have given classes, which means they get in front of the board, they explain, they give examples, and so on. If you want to use a book, if you find a need to use a book and a textbook, there are libraries. My university has a math library. All math. It's called a math institute, and it's also a library. Every or almost every math book that you would need in any syllabus, you can find it there.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, it's important for people or students looking to further their education to kind of get an understanding, I think, of what the school that they're thinking of going to offers. Because from my experience, you can get very different educations from two different schools that offer the same program.
Yes, that is what happened to me. Because when I was in San Juan and I did move over my credits, but the university that I am in right now is so much more advanced than the university in San Juan that there are some credits that they did not accept because the syllabus wasn't as complete as theirs. Mm. So I had to either do over the subject or complete the subject doing certain exams.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's important. And it's difficult if you don't know what you don't know, or you don't know what you should be looking for. But I think that's why it's important to talk to people beforehand. So you at least have that basis of knowledge.
Yes. I highly recommend Argentina because other than the fact that you're coming to study and everything, it is a beautiful place. There is everything. There are deserts, there are hills, valleys, mountains, waterfalls, lakes, icebergs. There's everything in this piece of land. I mean, everything that you could possibly think of. There are colored mountains, naturally colored mountains. I mean, what more can you ask for?
How much are they paying you for that advertisement?
Nothing, because I love it.
That's good to hear. I should love it sometime.
Yes.
All right. Well, Chanel, it has been lovely talking to you.
Thank you. Same here.
Once again. And to the listeners, thank you for joining us on today's Pathway.